Ephesians 5:18, I keep coming back to this verse. I've probably preached on this verse more in the last few months than I have my entire preaching career. You all know the verse, especially as Pentecostals, we know this verse. In fact, you know it so well, let's all read it together. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. I pray that each of us tonight, Lord, would leave full tonight. Lord, that no one here would leave empty and dry. But Lord, that we would be full of your Spirit, that we might, through our availability, reach out to others. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message, Are You Full Yet? Are you full yet? They tell me it's impolite to ask personal questions, so I'm going to be impolite tonight. You don't have to answer this question out loud, but I do want you to answer this question to yourself. The question is simply this. Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Now the question isn't, is the Holy Spirit indwelling with you right now? Because if you are saved, then that is true. The Holy Spirit does indwell you. Nor is the question, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? The question is not, do you believe in the filling of the Holy Spirit? The question is, right now, at this moment, is the Spirit of God filling you? Now, there are three possible answers to that question. Yes, no, and I don't know. But I want you to know tonight that the filling of the Spirit is available, and more than that, it is the obligation of every believer, every child of God. Now, I realize tonight when we talk about the Holy Spirit is an issue that is a cause for great debate. There's a lot of misunderstanding concerning the Holy Spirit. And there are some people that are afraid to touch the subject. There are others that go to extremes talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced tonight that the reason why people go to extremes is because they are spiritually hungry. And they want something. They want to hear the truth about the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, we can't shy away from it. But we have hunger pains of spiritually starved people who, some literally run around seeking the move of the Holy Spirit. They've asked for spiritual reality. And in many cases, we give them stones of promotion and organization. And I think, you could correct me after the service tonight, not here, okay? But I think that you would rather have the fullness of the Holy Spirit than see more and more people come to church. I think we would rather see a genuine move of God than simply setting attendance goals and seeing people come. And so tonight, I hope that you are spiritually hungry and that you won't leave here tonight without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Man has this spiritual nature to him, and so he is going to look for spiritual experiences. That is just a very part of his nature. A man is going to have, or a woman is going to have, supernatural experiences. If he cannot find it inside of the church, he will find it outside of the church. If he cannot have an experience with the Holy Spirit, he'll have an experience with an unholy spirit. And so the greatest need for men and women is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And my prayer tonight is that every Christian will claim that for him right now, because you know that Jesus is real in your life. You know the peace that passes all understanding and the joy that is unspeakable. And available to you tonight, right now, is the potential to live on ground where even the valleys are higher than we realize. Maybe you have had a personal weakness or a failure that has haunted and humiliated you even before you were saved. This happened. that can be overcome tonight as the Spirit of God moves into you with new force and with power. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now I want to share with you tonight three simple things concerning the filling of the Spirit from this verse of Scripture. First of all, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a command of God. It's an imperative verb, be filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion from God. It's not God simply expressing a desire of His. But God is uttering a command here, be filled with my Spirit. So if God is offering this to us as a command, did you ever stop to realize that if you're not filled with the Spirit, then you are disobeying this command? Isn't sin simply disobedience? So if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we are sinning against God. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not a luxury item in the Christian life. It is not optional equipment. You go to a car dealer and you can buy a car, but you can get all of these options whether you want these things on your car or not. When it comes to the Christian life, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not something that is optional. It is a command for every believer. God commands you to be filled with the Spirit. Now, you know, I've discovered something in my life that is a basic precept that is essential to my spiritual success. And that precept is this, and this was not originally, I heard Ron Dunn say this, and the more I thought about it, and the more I've realized this situation to be true, it is this, and if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. My total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. My total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. And if you don't get anything else that I say tonight, I hope that you get this statement. I hope that you would remember this one fact, because until you do, until you come to the place where you're willing to acknowledge this, that this is true, God cannot use you to the fullest. Until you realize that you do not have the ability to do anything for yourself in the spiritual realm, God will not be able to use you to the fullest. My total inability to do anything for myself in the spiritual realm. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Elijah. One of the greatest exhortations ever made was made by that prophet as he stood there on Mount Carmel. You know the story. As he challenged the prophets of Baal, the God that would answer by fire would be the God that everybody should serve and worship. You read that story, I read that story quite often, and every time I read, I keep thinking, if I could just come close to being like Elijah and preaching like Elijah, I would be doing fine. But the amazing thing is, after Elijah delivered that tremendous message, the Bible says they answered him not a word. I've been there before. I have had congregations from time to time where you preach, they don't answer you a word. You wonder if they're with you. You wonder if they got it, if they understand. They answered him not a word. But when the fire from heaven fell and came and consumed the sacrifice and licked up the water and the dust that was laying in the trenches, do you know what the people did? They said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." They fell upon their faces and they acknowledged that Jehovah God, He was the God that was worthy to be worshipped. He was the God that they would serve. And when the fire of God falls in the lives of men and women, the people that we come in contact with will fall on their faces and they will acknowledge that the God that we serve is truly God, and besides Him, there is none else. You know, you could witness, you could talk, you could preach, you could teach till you're blue in the face, but unless the fire of God falls, unless the Holy Spirit is at work, you can accomplish nothing. My inability to do anything for myself, or anybody else for that matter, in the spiritual realm. You cannot do what God has called you to do unless the Spirit of God is filling you. Jesus said, speaking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, "If you come to me and drink, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You see, it's so simple, Jesus says. You supply the riverbed, I'll supply the river. I don't know anybody that is ever blessed by a riverbed. Have you ever walked and came up to a dry riverbed and said, oh, great, a riverbed? And the tragedy is that many people today are nothing more than dried up, crusty old riverbeds that can quench no one's thirst. But Jesus said, if you make yourself available, you're nothing but a riverbed, but you come to me and you drink and appropriate what I am, and out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. We are the riverbed. You are the riverbed. He supplies the river. He supplies the Holy Spirit. He supplies that which is necessary for people to drink and never be thirsty again. It might surprise you, but I think that my primary responsibility as pastor of the church is to make certain that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. My primary responsibility is not to be an administrator, not to be a promoter, not to be a planter, not even to visit people in the hospital, although I do all these things, not to perform weddings and funerals. My primary responsibility is not even to you, not even to the people whom I shepherd. My primary responsibility is to make sure that I am filled with the Spirit, because if I am, then rivers of living water can flow out of me and touch your life. But unless I have that, unless I have the fullness of the Spirit, nothing I could do for you would mean anything. Only as I am full of the Holy Spirit can you be blessed by the overflow of the Spirit of God from my life. And you know what? The same is true with you. You'll never be able to help anybody in this world, in this life, unless you yourself are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that might seem like a selfish thing to say, but really it's not. Because it is the only way that you are going to be able to reach out and help people. Elisha was a man who we could also pattern our life after. You know that he was known as Elisha. Then he was known as Elisha, the man of God. And finally, he came to be known as simply the man of God. And if you lived in his neck of the woods, and you talked about the man of God, everybody knew who you were talking about. They knew Elisha was the one that was being talked about. He was discussed. He needed no other name other than man of God. Your primary responsibility is to be a man or woman of God. Wouldn't it be great if people just talked about you as the man or woman of God, and everybody knew who they were talking about? They knew they were talking about you. And when the Spirit of God is filling you, those rivers of living water will pour forth from your being, from your life, and the people in the way will be blessed and ministered to. You see, it will be Jesus himself ministering to the people through your availability. And the interesting thing about this passage in John chapter 7, if you want to look at it sometime, is that you start out thirsty and you end up a fountain. Has that ever occurred to you before? If any man is thirsty, Jesus says, let him come to me and drink. And the fellow who starts out thirsty will end up quenching the thirst of others. You start out thirsty for God, you will end up quenching the thirst of others. You start out being a crusty old riverbed, you'll end up being a river flowing out to other people. It is a command of God, because you cannot do what God has called you to do without it. Number two, not only is this a command of God, it is a command to be controlled by God. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Now, I have to confess that for a few years of my life, after I was saved, I was baptized in water, and I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I thought that the Lord was reluctant to fill me. And more than anything else, I wanted to be all that God wanted me to be. And from a young age, I felt the call of the ministry. I felt God was calling me to be a preacher. And I don't know if that added extra pressure on me or what, but I felt that I needed the experience that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And I thought the Lord was reluctant to fill me with His Spirit. I wanted to be usable, and I had the idea that somehow when I reached a certain spiritual plateau, a certain spiritual level, that the Lord would give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He would fill me with the Spirit as a reward of my spiritual growth. That's what I thought. I was wrong in my thinking, because I looked upon God as being reluctant and hesitating, and that somehow I had to beg my way into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible teaches the exact opposite of that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't be a command if He wouldn't be willing to do it. He said, let the Holy Spirit fill you. He wants to fill you. The only thing that He's waiting for is your consent for you to submit. And to be filled with the Spirit is, as one man translated that verse, translated it this way, let the Holy Spirit possess you completely. Let the Holy Spirit possess you completely. It means that He comes in and no longer is He simply the owner of my life, but He is also the operator of my life. We pulled into a gas station once and I noticed over the door these words, so-and-so, owner and operator. Now that's what Jesus wants to be. He wants to be owner and operator of your life. So many Christians give Him ownership, but He's not the operator of their life. Life becomes under new management. A new person has taken over and expresses himself through our human personality. To be filled with the Spirit simply means to let the Spirit of God control every area of my life. Now, I need to pause for a moment here, because there are some people who want simply the thrill of the fill. They just want the excitement of the infilling. Some people just want an ecstatic experience, some emotional experience. You want to be filled with the Spirit today? Then you are telling me that you want someone who will not tolerate any selfishness controlling you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are telling me that you want somebody in your life who will not tolerate even the slightest sin. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are telling me that you want to be controlled by someone who is going to demand absolute obedience, unquestioning obedience to every command, because that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. So it's more than the thrill, the frill of the fill. It's going to come down to a life of obedience. I found two things in my own life that the Holy Spirit could not really control me and fill me until these two things happened. Number one, I did what Jesus said to do in Luke chapter 9. Deny myself. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself. This means saying no to self. Now that's tremendous, because you see, myself is always talking to me. I think yourself probably talks to you as well. When, we're on vacation actually, and this lady started backing up and I thought she was going to hit me. Thought she was going to run into our car. I couldn't find the horn for anything. But if I could have found the horn, I wanted to just lay the horn on and just sound it and sound it and sound it again and just keep blowing it. Don't let her get away with that. Myself says, you lay on the horn, don't let her get away with that. When I see somebody do something and they get the credit, myself says, you can't do that. You got to get the credit for yourself. You let everybody know what you did. You see how yourself talks to you? Yourself is trying to exalt you. You watch out for yourself. You let everybody know that you are the one that's responsible. You take the credit. myself is always talking, always making suggestions, always telling me how wonderful and how great I am and that I'm right and everybody else is wrong and I need to look out for myself. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you say no to yourself. You just tell yourself to be quiet. You refuse to listen to self. That's what it means to deny yourself. F.B. Meyer, the great preacher of years ago, put it this way. You must dethrone self. S.D. Gordon was a great preacher. He wrote the Quiet Talk series. And he was preaching along occasionally. He would pause and lean down on the pulpit and put his hand to his mouth and whisper, "Are you listening?" In every heart, there is a throne and a cross. If you're on the throne, Jesus is on the cross. But what needs to happen is we need to enthrone Jesus and we need to put ourselves on the cross. Jesus needs to be enthroned as Lord of my life. I must die to myself. And that's the other thing. Not only is there a denying of myself, there is an enthroning of Jesus as Lord. Wesley, after his Aldersgate experience, said he woke up the next morning with Jesus master in his life. And that's what it's all about. It's Jesus having the rights to my life. It is by an act of my will, my enthroning Jesus as rightful Lord in my life. And that simply means that Jesus is now able to do anything that he wants to do with me. It's Jesus, absolute, total Lord in your life. Really, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is just the other side of the coin. If a person is filled with the Spirit of God, it is because Jesus is Lord in his life. And if Jesus is Lord in his life, then he is filled with the Spirit. You see how that works? Because the Spirit of God doesn't want to glorify anyone other than Jesus Christ. And by the way, for years, I always wondered, how can you tell whether a movement is really of God or not? How can you really tell if this movement is of God? And then I came to the realization, you can tell by the place or the position of the Holy Spirit in that movement. If the Holy Spirit is the thing that is being sought, if the Holy Spirit is in the forefront, then that is not a genuine move of God, because the Spirit of God does what? Always glorifies Jesus. The Spirit always retreats to the background and pushes Jesus to the front of the parade. And the man who is filled with the Spirit will become a Jesus person, if I could use that expression. For Jesus said, "He shall come and he shall testify of me." That's what the Holy Spirit does. He testifies of Christ and he shall glorify me. That is the purpose for the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we might glorify him. Finally, the third point this evening, it is a command. It is a command to be controlled, and it is a command to be continually controlled. This is a present tense verb. But ye being filled with the Spirit. Be ye being filled with the Spirit. I'm not advocating today an occasional high. I'm talking about an everyday experience. I read and I read in the book of Acts, chapter 6, where those deacons were men, not filled with the Spirit, but full of the Spirit. There has to be a difference. Men whose lives, let us say, were characterized by fullness, a habitual, continual experience every day, a Spirit-filled experience. Now, I can think of two ways that you can be filled with the Spirit every day, that the initial filling can extend into a continual walk, and that's what I'm interested in. How can we take this initial filling and make it a part of our everyday experience and walk? Number one, by immediate obedience to every command. Immediate obedience, the moment the Spirit of God says, "Apologize," I apologize. The moment the Spirit of God says to me, "Witness," I witness. The moment the Spirit of God says to me, "Why don't you hand that track to that person right there?" I hand that track to that person right there. The moment the Spirit of God speaks to me, that moment I obey. Instant obedience to the promptings of God's Spirit. The second is by confession of sin. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you no longer sin, but it means that you acknowledge your sin and you confess it to Him. Instant confessions, getting every barrier out of the way, a continual experience. I think we need to confess our sins daily. Maybe more often than that. The moment we sin, the moment we recognize that it's a sin, it needs to be confessed. This is living by the Spirit. This is where God wants us to live. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? That was our initial question. Are you full yet? Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I just want you to ponder that question. Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Are you full? Is your life characterized by fullness? You're living in the area of denying self, enthroning Christ. You're living in the area of instant obedience. You're living in the area of instant confession. See, it's not as glamorous as we might think to be filled with the Spirit, because we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. So whether you are full right now or not is not my concern. My concern is, do you want this to be a continued experience every day? Do you want to live with a Spirit-filled experience, to be full of the Holy Spirit? Now think about this before you raise your hand. You want to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, again, means that you must deny self and enthrone Christ. You must be willing to instantly obey. If you want that tonight, would you raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down? Amen. 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 We're getting down to some serious business tonight. This is serious church. But it has to be this way, because you are an empty riverbed without Him. It's only through the fullness of the Holy Spirit that your riverbed can be turned into rivers of living water that flow and reach and touch and help other people. How many tonight, Pastor, would you pray for me that the Lord would come and fill this riverbed of mine? He'd come and fill me, because I want to be all that I can be for Him. Is that your prayer tonight? Could I see your hand? Amen. Amen. Lord, tonight we realize that we are empty without You. Lord, tonight we recognize our inability to do anything for ourselves in the spiritual realm. And so tonight, Lord, we stand before You. We ask that You would come and You would fill these riverbeds with rivers of living water. Lord, tonight we pray that You would give us the grace to be able to live consistently the Spirit-filled life, that we would deny ourselves, and that we would enthrone You. Lord, give us the grace to instantly obey every command that You would give us. Give us the grace to be able to confess our sins, knowing that You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, may there not be a barrier in the way of anyone here tonight but may we all be living where you intend us to live, that we would all be able to live the abundant life. May your Holy Spirit fill each one, even now we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.